City Council Meeting, January 16th, 2018.
Chaplain Green, give the invocation.
You will join with me as we pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of this day. We thank you for the opportunity that this city council has to come together to conduct the business of this great city. Pray that the decisions that they make will be those that are best for this community. But we pray this in our Lord's name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Make sure I miss
me too.
Welcome, everyone, and then, Angela, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gwynn.
Here.
Ms. Rich.
Here.
Mr. Grable.
Here.
Mr. Molliver.
Here.
Mr. Musley.
Here.
Mr. Wardell.
Here. And we've got some new employees with us. Would you stand when I call your name? Christy Bullock. Hi, Christy. Chris Watts. Christian Dumay. Cynthia Korth. Tyrell Moore. Cody McCutcheon, and David Smith. Welcome, guys. I hope you enjoyed the meeting. Thanks for being here. And Ms. Jacobs will do the public notice.
The January 16, 2018 City Council meeting was publicly noticed on December 6, 2017 on the city's website. And as a reminder, all public comments and presentations are limited to 3 minutes unless authorized to extend beyond that time by the council president or majority of council. All materials for the mayor and city council must be given to the attending staff for distribution. Prior to speaking to the podium, please state your name and address for the record. To maintain order, speakers must be recognized by the council president. Please silence your cell phones and all electronic devices for the duration of this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. Okay, we've got one proclamation and award for Black History Month. Ira Bethea, would you come up? Stand here. Irie.
We commented on the generation asked questions about, you know, how
accomplished the duty, this, that, and the other, and all of them did great. So I think it was a great event, a great turnout. We would love to see more diversity in our, in the march, you know, and all the different activities. Altogether, there were six different activities in the past week as it relates to the legacy and life of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Right. Thank you for your contribution to that week, and we appreciate it.
Well, we also appreciate the contribution of the citizens, and they continue to make, you know, more and more, and to help us to move this forward. And it's, you know, definitely when people go off from work because of a holiday, it's, you know, it should not be a day off, but it should be a day on. And so we do appreciate it. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank all of you.
Okay, we have two presentations. The first one would be a presentation on the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study by Randy Cohen. Laura Walker presenting.
Good evening. Laura Walker, Cultural Arts and Sciences Division Head for the city. In 2016, the city of Ocala participated in the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study 5, which was conducted by the Americans for the Arts. Randy Cohen, Vice President of Research and Policy for Americans for the Arts, will present a report on those findings. He will also be here all day tomorrow for several events, and we'll kick the day off at the CEP breakfast. We'd love to see you there.
Good afternoon. My name is Randy Cohen with Americans for the Arts in Washington, D.C. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, city manager, it's great to be with you. I've got a good news story to tell, and very quickly. Your investment in the arts is not only an investment in quality of life and improving the livability of Ocala, but in fact, it's an investment in an industry. Ocala, one of 341 communities, is part of a national economic impact study looking at the impact of our nonprofit arts and culture organizations on the economy. It's a $56 million industry right here in the city, spending by the organizations plus event-related spending by arts audiences. As part of this, it's interesting, we surveyed 822 attendees at arts events. We found the typical attendee to an arts event here in the city spends $36.51 per person per event, not including the cost of admission. Think of the last time you went to the show, right? Dinner, parking, you know, babysitting, lots of economic activity. And so working with our Georgia Tech economists, we actually looked to see what the economic impact of that spending was. That $56 million supports 1,422 jobs right here in the city. The arts, not just food for the soul, but putting food on the table for 1,422 households right here in Ocala. It's also returning valuable revenue back to the city and state coffers, $6.1 million in local and state government revenue. Here's one of the interesting things about those attendees, 1.1 million attendees to arts events. 25% of them came from outside of Marion County. So while the average attendee spends $36.51, which, by the way, is larger than the national average and larger than the Florida average, 25% from outside the county, they average $64.48 per person per event. Not only how much did you spend, but we asked those non-local attendees, we're glad you're here, but why are you here? Well, you know, you're here on business, you're here visiting friends and family. 88% said, we came specifically for this arts event. So it's a whole way that we're changing the story about the arts from one of charity to one of industry, an industry that supports jobs, generates government revenue, and is a cornerstone to tourism. And you'll recognize many of our national partners on this. The national, your studies on the website look something like this. Look to the back of the study, and you'll see our partners, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, the National League of Cities, the National Association of Counties, the International City County Management Association. You'll recognize the Public Management Magazine. October, the cover story, your Arts and Economic Prosperity Study right here in Ocala. So this is a good news story. When we invest in the arts, we're not investing in a frill, we're investing in an industry. The arts, they're not just nice, they're necessary. Thank you. I don't have any questions or anything.
Thanks very much. Okay, we have one other presentation. George Frangiola, I want to bring you up now because I know we pay you by the hour, and I don't want you sitting there for the rest of the meeting. If you could
talk Frangiola, Gilligan, Gooding, and Frangiola and Batsell. As you know, we received a ruling last week from the appellate court reversing the favorable ruling that we had gotten at the trial court level in the class action concerning the fire service user fee. I'm here just simply to tell you that we're one, planning on having a shade meeting at which we can bring up the new members, bring new members up to speed on that case, and two, to tell you that we're planning to file a request for a rehearing with the appellate court unless anybody on council has a question or objection about that strategy.
No objections.
None? Very good. We'll keep it posted. Thanks. Yeah, John.
Would you like to do the shade meeting? Do we want to settle that at the end of this meeting today, or when would you be prepared to have a shade meeting?
Well, I'd have to coordinate it with Pat, but as quickly as possible next week, if
we could, perhaps at the end of the meeting, Mr. President, we could take a look at some calendars.
Sounds good.
Yeah, the motion for a hearing is due early next week, so I would say, you know, mid to late next week, sometime like that. All right. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we'll move on to public comments. I have one written form, Brian Kriegbaum.
Brian Kriegbaum, 103 Northeast 31st Terrace, and that is in the city of Ocala. I guess I have something specific related to the arts report. We talk a lot about historic downtown Ocala, and that usually involves discussions about buildings and bricks, but I'm here to talk about music. On Saturday, February 3rd at 2 p.m., we're going to have historic music in one of our historic buildings. The building I'm referring to is the Riley Arts Center, the former Ocala Civic Auditorium, and the music I'm referring to is a solo piano performance of ragtime and early jazz that the Riley is calling Terry Waldo, This is Ragtime. For those that don't know, ragtime was kind of the pop music between about 1897 and 1917. So about 100 to 120 years ago, it was originally popular. And some of us remember the Sting from the early 70s and the soundtrack and the sort of revival in ragtime in the 70s, and it's had other revivals. But originally popular a long time ago, about 100 years ago, 120 years ago. And full disclosure, Terry Waldo is my cousin. Terry, if you look at the Riley publicity, has recommendations from the New York Times, the New Yorker, Wynton Marcellus. He was a protege of UB Blake. If you remember him, okay. If you don't, I'll just mention that, to summarize it, President Reagan gave UB Blake Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1981 for his contributions to America's musical heritage, referred to him as a national treasure. So my cousin is literally a living connection to the roots of ragtime. Matt, sitting here in his role as city council, as we all know, conducts the OSO and also runs the Riley Artistic Director, and he put out a video last week in which he referred to the opportunity to attend this concert as in the experience of a lifetime. Matt saw Terry play privately earlier this year, so he's speaking from direct observation. Terry's played Carnegie Hall with the New York Pops, and believe it or not, he's played the Supreme Court in the Supreme Court building because he did Sandra Day O'Connor's annual parties there for about 10 years. He's 73. He's played ragtime professionally for over 50 years. And we're going to have this in Ocala. And it's in Ocala, frankly, because I'd seen him play. I know he has an older audience, his core audience. I know our demographics. And we arranged with the Riley. The Riley's producing it thanks to Matt's vision. The Riley is producing this, is invested in getting this music shared with our community. So we basically have a nonprofit that the city owns that we have an opportunity to support here. I was at the county commission this morning, invited commissioners, inviting staff, city council members, anybody else here now. That's great music. You can bring your family. It is a ticketed event. Riley has the tickets. What else do we need to cover? Riley promoting. No, I think that's about it. We're going to have quite a varied audience. We're going to have conservative people, liberal people, old people. young people. We're going to have old people. I mean, I've contacted 13 assisted living facilities, and my aunt may be the oldest because she turns 100 June 1st, and she's coming. And some older people, you know, you may remember the Chazelles. Dick Chazelle is in there. He's in his 90s. He's number one on the list over at Windsor. I'm going right. Gerald was coming until he came up with an excuse that he's getting his leg sawed in half about 4 days before having knee replacement. So I told him I'd send him a vehicle with a lift, but that's in negotiation. But anyway, I just wanted to note that. You got flyers for it. I don't know if anybody has any questions, but I'll let you go on to your business. But it's going to be a real neat thing. It's going to be a real neat opportunity to see something that you can't see in Jacksonville or Tampa or Orlando or Miami. We're getting it here in Ocala because, frankly, ragtime music is not hugely commercial now. And we've built enough critical mass here to get this event pulled off. You normally have to go to some festival or here or there. Probably five people in the world can do this like he can do it. And it's just a rare opportunity to see it. But we are going to have it here, and we're going to have people driving from an hour or more away to come to Ocala to see this. So I just want to let y'all know about it. Hope you can support it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
I got another 9 seconds.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Is there any other public comment not related to one of the agenda items? Okay. We'll move on to public hearings. 6A, adopt resolution 2018-11. Adopting a final development plan for the Winding Oaks plan development for approximately 4.38 acres of property located at 5830 Southwest College Road, case PUD 16-0007. Presentation by Patricia Hitchcock.
Good afternoon, Patty Hitchcock on behalf of the City of Ocala Growth Management Department. This is a request for approval of the final development plan for a portion of the Winding Oaks PUD. It's an approximately 4 acre portion that fronts College Road and what will be a new collector road into the Winding Oaks development. The conceptual site development plan was approved by Council in October of 2017, so this is the next step, the final development approval. It has been reviewed and found to be consistent with the conceptual development plan, and also brings forward and with the conceptual plan development guidelines. The portion of the property, the 4 acre portion, will be developed as the Land Rover Jaguar dealership. It has been reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission. This is in furtherance of Council's strategic goal of economic hub, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Questions? Okay. Do I hear a motion?
So moved. Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any council discussion? Okay. Any public comments? All right. We'll call the roll.
Mr. Musbury?
Aye.
Mr. Oliver?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Thank you, Patty. Public hearing 6B, approved case number 52518 to add the sale of beer, wine, and liquor for on-premises consumption outside of an enclosed building for the Ivy House of Alachua, LLC, doing business as Ivy on the Square, a quasi-judicial presentation by Patricia Hitchcock.
Yes, this is a request to approve alcohol for a sidewalk cafe at Ivy on the Square. The building was previously used as Ritter's, and there was an alcoholic beverage location permit on that site. Under our code, staff can approve the alcoholic beverage location permit for the interior portion of the business. However, the sidewalk cafe is new, and that is why this comes forward to City Council. We have included in the backup a site sketch, which may not be as clear in black and white as it is in color, but it shows the area where we will be maintaining the 5-foot pedestrian access way clear for the public and where the tables may be located. There will be, the applicant intends to use planters and is working with city staff on the design of those planters to cordon off the area to identify which is the sidewalk cafe and which is public access. Staff recommends approval. This is in furtherance of the goal of economic hub, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
So moved.
The motion, take a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Any council discussion or questions?
I think venues like these
really what drives a good downtown.
Yeah, I happen to...
Great downtown, actually.
I walked by this afternoon, and it's amazing. The inside of the place looks beautiful, and I think it's going to be a really cool addition to what's going on. I think they're trying the next...
Time for this month.
Yeah.
So just you take an old building that, you know, generating very little tax revenue, and you rehabbed it, and now you got a viable business in there. It's just a win-win for all concerned.
Right. Yeah. Any public comments? Okay. We'll call the roll, Ms. Jacobs.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye. Thank you. And we'll move on to item 7, second and final reading of ordinances, 7A. Adopt ordinance 2018-22 for zoning designation to M1 light industrial for approximately 23.91 acres of property located in the 4500 block of South Pine Avenue, case ZON 17-0032, quasi-judicial, introduced by Councilmember Mary Sue Rich on January 4th, 2018.
Mr. President, I move that ordinance number 2018-22 be adopted as provided by the Charter of the City of Ocala, except that adoption by sections on second reading be waived and based on staff's recommendation for case number ZON 17-0032 and other evidence presented to City Council.
A second.
Got a second.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing the zoning designation to M1 light industrial for a certain property located in the 4500 block of South Pine Avenue, Ocala, Florida, case number ZON 17-0032, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Presentation by Patty Hitchcock.
Thank you. This property was a portion of a larger parcel back in 2006 that came forward to be developed as a shopping center. At that time, policy was put into the land use plan addressing development as a shopping center, which did not come about. The larger parcel returned to different ownership, and in 2016, council amended the policy by deleting it. However, not all the property had zoning. The property owner has requested zoning of M1 on this 23.91 acre parcel. Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended approval. Staff also recommends approval. It is consistent with the area and is in furtherance of the goal of economic hub. I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
We've got a motion and second, so any further council comment, questions? All right, any public comment? Okay, Ms. Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye. Thank you, Patty. Moving on to general business, item 8A, adopt budget resolution 2018-120 to appropriate funds from the Code Enforcement Board fines revenue account to reimburse the general fund reserve used for the Nurani Hotel demolition expenses in the amount of $470,944, presentation by Cindy Kelly.
Good evening, Cindy Kelly, Director of Budget and Legislative Affairs. This is a good news story for our goal of fiscal sustainability. As Council will recall, in fiscal year 17, we appropriated $470,944 towards the demolition of that hotel. And as promised, the hotel has been demolished, all the fines paid and sold, and the money paid back to the city.
Oh, move.
I hear a second and a third and a fourth. And good. We got a second. Any other council comment? Public comments? Okay.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye. Thank you, Cindy. Item 8B, approve fire hydrant and valve installation, repair and maintenance services with R&M Service Solutions, LLC, utilizing a Seminole County contract with an estimated annual expenditure of $100,000. Presentation by Sean Lanier.
Sean Lanier, City Engineer. Good afternoon, President, members of the Council, Honorable Mayor. This agenda item supports strategic goals of fiscal sustainability, operational excellence, and quality of place. This is a piggyback contract on Seminole County for R&M Service Solutions. R&M has been under contract with the city since 2014, using a contract that we put out for bid, and they were the only bidder. They've performed very well for the city. We have one additional year of renewal, but we want to go to this piggyback contract because it offers additional features that we currently do not have in our existing contract. Therefore, we want to take advantage of this contract that was competitively bid, and we've evaluated, and it was a very, very good contract. Staff, therefore, recommends approval, and I'm here to answer any questions.
I hear a motion.
Second.
Second. Any council discussion or questions? Okay. Any public comment? All right. Call the roll.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Ms. Fritsch?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye. Item 8C, approve wastewater, biosolids, debris, grease, and emergency hauling, handling, and disposal services with American Pipe and Tank Incorporated, utilizing a Marion County contract with an estimated annual expenditure of $150,000. Presentation by Sean Lanier.
Sean Lanier, City Engineer. This agenda item also supports CAL's strategic goals of operational excellence and quality of place. Wastewater biosolids as handling and hauling is something that we do to haul liquid sludge and sludge that's been processed through the belt press and take it to the landfill. If we haul liquid sludge, it goes back to the processing facility where it's processed and then taken for disposal by the company. American Pipe and Tank is the only hauler in Marion County. We want to use this Marion County contract for piggyback. Normally, we have used in the past, we have a what's called a gas dryer that they call it the dragon dryer, and it produces the dragon droppings. I don't know how familiar you are with it in the past, but basically we have a AA facility, WRF number 3, when that dryer was operating. The dryer has reached, or both dryers, we have two of them, have reached their end of life. The normal process was we would haul from plant 2 to plant 3 and run the stuff through the dryer. Well, the dryers have reached their end of life. They're no longer supported by Siemens, which was the manufacturer. So there's basically no technical assistance, nobody that can work on it. The last person retired a year ago. So we're basically working on a solution to replace the dryers, and now we have to haul the stuff to the landfill. We have only two trucks. We had one breakdown Saturday, and so we're working on loaner trucks, and so it's very important that we get this hauling contract in place to be able to process and continue to operate. Again, it's the only local hauler, and it's using a piggyback contract with Marion County, so therefore staff recommends approval, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Get a motion first, and then we'll discuss.
Second.
So we are replacing the dryers?
Yes, sir. We're working on our interim solution, which is to process. We're permitted to haul to the landfill, which we know the local landfill is going to close in about 3 years. So our interim solution is to haul to the landfill to process it as what we call cake, basically to take it and they'll dewater it to about 30% or take out about 30% of the water, and then they'll haul the rest to the landfill for disposal. We're going to work on replacing the dryer at first 3 and then probably outfit 2 so that they both have dryers and we're not hauling from one facility to the other.
Well, I remember when Ms. Rick, you remember when we got that dryer back in whatever it was, 2003, 2004,
mm-hmm.
That was the first dryer that that company had made, and we were the guinea pig for it. And
yes, sir.
It didn't work out. We had to get it repaired. I think there was one they sold later in Tallahassee, but, you know, it's been worked after it was fixed, but it was a problem there for a while. But, I mean, are you buying it from the same company, or are you buying it different?
Sir. I'm a big advocate of letting the market test it. I hate guinea pig stuff and being the tester because you don't know. So we want proven technology. We want the latest technology, but we also want proven technology, and we want a service plan. We want to see dependability. We want to make sure that the dryers that we look at, they're being utilized somewhere by municipalities for this same process and preferably other places in Florida. We've got a list of different alternative other types of dryers. There's one that even has a press incorporated and a screw press runs into the dryer. And so we're doing all that evaluation. Like I said, we have an interim solution, which is the immediate fix, and we have 3 years. So we're going to take that time to properly evaluate it and come up with a design and then the right vendor or the right process to go through.
Good. Thank you.
No, Sean, I was going to ask, ma'am, did they live up to our expectancy? How long have we had them? You said in...
About 2003, 2004 was when Mike Finn was...
And are there other companies out there that's selling dryers that we can choose from?
Yes, ma'am. Siemens got out of the business. Basically, theirs is a, you know, it was before my time, but it was, we bought number one and number 13, and I think they only made 13. So, I mean, that's basically it. The only ones in existence, there's one other one around that's not used very frequently, I think in Tennessee or somewhere, and then there's other ones in China. But they basically have discontinued support of it. They wanted to get out of it, out of the business. What we're looking at, there's other companies that have this, it's a different type of dryer technology, slightly different, and they're dependable, and they've got them in place in Florida. We're looking at those. Andritz is one of the names of it. It's kind of the Cadillac of it. There's one that's actually coming Thursday, I think, this week, and is going to do a presentation on their process, and they have other municipalities using them. So we're gonna do it right. I like to do things right and do it once.
We won't be the guinea pigs.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Any further council discussion? Any public comment?
Okay. Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Okay, we'll move on to item 8D. Approve a three-year contract with the Florida Department of Corrections, number W1128, to utilize an inmate labor squad by Recreation and Parks with an expenditure of $174,716. Presentation by William Rodriguez.
Good afternoon, Council. Bill Rodriguez, Parks Division Head. This agenda item supports the city's strategic goals of operational excellence and quality of place. The agenda item is to award a new three-year contract for an inmate work squad in the Recreation and Parks Department to the Florida Department of Corrections in the amount of $174,716. The Recreation and Parks Inmate Work Squad assists us with various grounds maintenance services such as landscaping, mowing, median right-of-way maintenance, park maintenance, as well as beautification of other city properties. Staff recommends approval.
Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
This is a three-year contract?
And that 174 is over the three years?
That is over the 3 years, correct. First year coming at $59,722, and the following 2 years at $57,497. This also has a one-time three-year renewal.
John, we have other expenditures for inmate work besides rec and parks, too, don't we?
Yes, Public Works has crews.
That's what I thought, okay.
We're trying to get a crew for facilities maintenance because there's a lot of maintenance to be done on all Chris Dobbs' work that has to be done. We've got a number of crews out there now.
And it seems to...
It's extremely cost-effective for us because for the price of a truck,
mm-hmm.
four to five more bodies with that.
Okay.
That's really the way to go.
But this contract under consideration today is just to deal with recs and parks?
Right.
Okay.
Just for the issues that Mr. Rodriguez spoke of.
Okay. Thank you.
And they all do a good job, don't they? They're anxious to get out of there for a day, to get breathe some fresh air and see people. And
the women that make crews do a fantastic job also.
We see those a lot around the Riley, the women work crews, and they're amazing. We did sandbagging, the sandbag stuff with them, and they know my name. You know, my girlfriend wonders why, but it's just because we've worked together a little bit. But no, they're great crews and hard workers.
Oh, yeah.
Hard workers.
They are.
They're a huge part to the beautification of our parks and properties.
Any?
Just a quick question, sir.
So are they doing the boulevard also?
They're doing portions of the boulevard, mostly the gateways right now and Fort King Street.
Okay. Yeah, I was walking back from the MLK event yesterday, and just a lot of trash along the boulevard coming back from MLK or, you know, Krosky, you know, up in front of the old bank building and just, you know, along there where Wells Fargo was, just thrown in the bushes and stuff. So need to get that. Yeah. Yeah,
we can have a crew down there tomorrow. Take care of that.
Any public comment on 8D? All right. Hold on. Thank you.
Ms. Fridge?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Leslie?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Are there any consent items that council would like pulled? Any items the public would like pulled from the consent agenda? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Grable?
Aye.
Mr. Wardell?
Aye. Okay, there were no held items. There are no introduction and first reading ordinances. There's no internal auditor's report. City Manager's report. Mr. Zobel.
Yes, just a couple of quick things, Mr. President. Could you look at your calendars, please? Mr. Frangiola indicated, you know, he would prefer to ask something later next week. Is that, let me know what works for you. We have a workshop on the 23rd, and while we're speaking of that, I will be deleting the overhead underground report. Staff's done a good job on that. I'd like a little bit more time to work on that, please. You'll hear about Ocala Fiber Network, as well as our downtown parking. So.
We can do it right before that? I think they need it a little later in the week. Okay. It sounded like.
I'm out of town both Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. Anyone have a Friday afternoon available? Like, do the
26th.
Yes, ma'am. And we could do like the 11:30.
That'll work.
I'm free on Friday.
That works for you.
11:30 on Friday.
I don't want to. How about 2 o'clock or something? Let's get past.
Okay.
2 o'clock.
I like 11:30. What's wrong with 11:30?
Right now, I've got blocked off for lunch.
We'll feed you lunch.
I'll say the.
We'll give you some pizza.
I'll say the. Save the taxpayers the.
Where were you planning on eating? So we know.
I was going to Mark's.
Mark's? Oh. Okay.
We're not bringing that in.
Do you mind 2 p.m.?
No, I don't.
Okay. 2 p.m.
Yeah,
okay with everyone?
We have Lori send out an invite. Yes. Mr. Batsley, you have that?
I will. Yes, I'll pass that on to Pat and George.
John, Rob, yes. Will we be going to be able to talk about the school board? And the status of that based on that update?
That is part of my report.
That is part of his report today, but okay. We don't combine issues in the shade meeting.
Okay.
For a singular purpose, so.
Okay. Okay. Two.
Mr. President, I'd like to have Ms. Kelly give us a brief legislative update just concerning a couple of hot button items.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, Cindy Keller, Director of Budget and Legislative Affairs. As Council is aware, the legislative session for Florida started last week, so you have been receiving emails from me related to that on a weekly basis. I send them out on Monday, or today I send them out Tuesday. There is an all-out assault, again, on local government. There's been a lot of bills filed. Some of those bills that fell last year have been strengthened from the standpoint of the legislature, not on the standpoint of local government. And come back. So we're looking at preemptions in multiple arenas, from our utility area to taxation see how ordinances are written, even how council members would do travel reimbursements are looking at being preempted by the legislature. So we are working with our lobbyists to show our displeasure with those types of ordinances that look for overreach into local government authority. I will continue to update council on a weekly basis via the email. If you have any questions on any particular bill or if you've heard anything, you know, I'm happy to run it down for you as well. There's been a few issues related to law enforcement that I've sent to the mayor and to the chief. There's actually one good bill as it relates to law enforcement. They're looking to do a no toll for law enforcement officers. So if you have to travel back and forth, you wouldn't have to pay tolls. So that would be nice. So something pro, yeah. May not affect our law enforcement too much, but, you know, help some communities like Orlando who pass through tolls regularly, you know, as they're going. That would be helpful to those cities. Election dates are up for discussion again as far as requiring local governments of when we would have elections. Just so all of council is aware, we are headed to Marion County Days on the 23rd and 24th up in Tallahassee. We have several conferences coming up. FMEA, I'll be going up there in early February for that. I'll be going at the end of this month for Florida League of Cities Legislative Action Days. I have two trips to D.C. planned on the federal side. We are looking at a federal potential shutdown of the government once again. So we'll see how that goes. They still have not adopted a budget, so we don't have anything really updated there. The big thing they're looking at right now is immigration. And we'll keep updating as the federal lobbyist has any information on that. And I'm happy to answer questions. Yes, ma'am.
Do they give you a lot of that time when you're up there? Or do they treat you like they treat us? You know, we have to talk to their assistants.
Well, oftentimes I do get the good fortune to speak with their very competent staffs in relation to the issues. Typically, the meeting with the elected official itself is usually around 15 minutes. I think the only exception to that so far has been Senator Nelson at the federal level. He usually gives us 30 minutes, sometimes 45. And if he's aware that we're coming ahead of time, he arranges tours and all kinds of fun things for us. But typically, it's about 15 minutes with individual legislatures at the state and federal level.
I'm talking about in Tallahassee. Are you talking about Tallahassee?
That's both. Yeah, state and federal, it's about 15 minutes with the legislator. But their staff is always very helpful, takes our information. I have a good relationship with all of their chiefs of staff, and they're always very accommodating for whatever we need.
I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. Do you think the staff should be the elected officials sometimes because they're so nice and they know so much about the issues you're talking about?
I think the staff does a great job of keeping the elected official appraised of the things that are happening in their jurisdiction so that that legislature can make the best decision for their constituency.
Okay.
That was a very political
very
answer.
I shouldn't have asked you that, Cindy. I'm sorry.
I love that one.
Yeah, I've read, I'm working with a staff member just on that subject in Washington, Larry Callahan in Congressman Yoho's office. That guy's amazing. He's gotten so much done for me. But in regards to the Tallahassee and the home rule and stuff, see the article the other day in the, editorial in the Ocala Star Banner about how that violates the Constitution?
I did read the editorial, yes.
I mean, is there any discussion by anyone about suing the state for violating the Constitution?
At this point, I haven't seen anything. None of the bills have passed, so they're just all in committee right now. I think depending on what actually passes the legislature, you may see some counties and cities, you know, lawyer up, depending on how far the overreach is. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
And are you seeing any legislation tied to the constitutional amendment in regard to the property tax exemptions? Or are you seeing anything sort of tying our ability to compensate for that?
There are several constitutional amendments being put forth. I can pull those out specifically and send them to you. A few of them have passed committee and will likely end up on the ballot. Others have kind of died on the vine. But I can send you what specifically has passed so far. There are 60-some, I think, that they have reviewed at this point. Thank you very much.
Mayor's and Police Department report.
Yeah, a couple of things. The other day I had a constituent call me and to solve a problem for him, talking about Derek and the building department. And I want to say a good word about Derek and our building department took over Ron Rose's position. This individual had an air conditioner that they had purchased that was a SEER rating of 13. We require a 14. They had purchased it when I think it was 13. They let it sit for about a year, never been turned on. That law changed. Now they're wanting to, you know, get their building going and operating. We wouldn't allow that because different SEER rating. So I walked over to Derek's office, presented him with the problem. He just said, sure, that's easy. You know, tell him to get started, come see me, get the building permit, they're good to go. You know, and I sent the gentleman a text message back and said, that's the way government's supposed to work. But it's great to see our building officials and city employees just using simple common sense to solve problems. And so hats off to him. He's a great guy and look forward to working with him. The other one is Chief, could you come up here for a second? So probably, I don't know what it was, probably 2 months ago, we had a house near Highlands School over on 36th Avenue. It was being occupied by a young lady that was allowing people to come through there and sell drugs, use drugs, and just all kind of problems, created a lot of problems for the neighborhood. I had a lady, and if that lady's here in the audience, she was going to come tonight. I don't know if she's here or not. But she had called me and said, I want to thank the police department and the drug unit and specifically Corey Taylor for the job he did in cleaning up our neighborhood. You know, Christmas was wonderful and the kids were out in the street and the yards playing. You know, he brought our neighborhood back to what it was. Everyone's happy and delighted. You know, I came out there on a Saturday morning when I heard about it. And there were a lot of neighbors that came up to the police officers and me and said, thank you so much for doing this. This has been a long time coming. And, you know, sometimes when we do things, you know, we don't obviously say anything about what we're going to be doing, and it takes a long time, and, you know, people complain, and we would love to tell them that what we're doing, but we can't. But this lady was kind enough to call and thank us. And Corey told her that day, said, we'll be back. And he was with a lot of other officers and cleaned that neighborhood up. But I just wanted to thank you, the drug unit, and Corey for the job that he and the rest of the drug unit did to clean that neighborhood up.
Thank you, Mayor. That was also a collaborative effort with code enforcement as well. And they deserve as much credit as we did in helping us solve that problem and in the process of solving some other problems in the same area.
Right.
Code enforcement's done an awesome job.
Well, and that lady told me also that individual that lives there that was, you know, creating the problems is in rehab and probably spend probably a year in there trying to get her life back on track, which is good.
Yes, sir. It's excellent.
All right. Thank you. One other thing, our pursuit, our prayer vigil lawsuit, I haven't heard anything on it, but I'm going to guess that probably in February we'll hear something. The last time we met was right after the judge that did Corinne Brown's case in Jacksonville. When he was done with that, he came down here. And obviously he's dealing with that sentencing now. It will be, looks like, the end of January. So we'll probably hear something in February. I'm just guessing when he's done with that. But and also, what was the other thing? Oh, January 30th, I'll be. And I guess Cindy's going to maybe be at that far league of cities, but I'll be in Tallahassee for that one day on the 30th and coming back for the Florida League of Mayors day. So that's it.
City Attorney's report, Mr. Batson.
Yes, so Council, just briefly a few things that I'm carrying to you from Pat. First of all, just to it's a little abnormal the way that we did this due to the timing of everything with discount sleep. So we came to you verbally tonight with a report or, you know, on the record. And so I'll just reiterate the fact so that the public has plenty of notice. We'll work with the clerk, of course, to get proper notice out. But since it is a short time frame, again, that'll be January 27th. We anticipate about an hour from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock here in council chambers. Moving on, we'll also set another date, if possible, for the joint mediation conference regarding the school board litigation. The date that has been proposed, and I do have a few backup dates if this causes a problem, but it is March 6th. So if I could ask about your availability on that date, we'll try to get that set as well.
What time?
We have the day clear for all attorneys and necessary parties.
Maybe we can do before February 22nd?
So that I do not think is possible. I can inquire. There's been a motion filed and there's a by the school board and there's a hearing set. If that's why you're inquiring.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's rather upsetting that they would push back the date past that time frame. I think that discussion needs to take place before the February 22nd hearing, quite frankly. I mean, I think it's being pushed back strategically.
I can, so this is based upon availability of calendar dates for Pat and their attorney. I don't think it would be possible to get everybody together before then. I can try.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't either.
We're going to take us to court and then
take us to court.
Take us to court.
Let's get it over with.
And I'm trying to walk a fine line of not going into too much of the weeds and the detail that I know you'd like to discuss in a public setting like this that's not a shade meeting. It's your will, truthfully, counsel. I mean, we're happy to push back and make a decision on the joint conference after we get a ruling, you know, on the pending motion, if that's your desire.
Sounds like that's what I hear consensus from. I mean, if we can't have a meeting before the 22nd, you just...
We don't want to
have let this
it.
Go. I don't have it.
Yeah, because I think the courts will tell us, you know, what they want us to do. If they're going to rule in their favor, they're going to rule in our favor, or they're going to rule, why don't you guys sit down and mediate? What an idea.
Yeah, what are we going to discuss after the hearing?
Yeah, after the hearing, right.
I'm tired of talking to them, really.
Here's your battle of the council. Meeting. 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Mr. Batzel, without going into too much detail, I understand why you're cautious about that. I mean, do you have any counsel for us that meeting would be beneficial even after that 22nd hearing? Was there anything that we're overlooking or is our sentiment seem like it's...
I'll qualify this by the fact that I'm not the lead attorney on this and I'm only, you know, involved a bit. However, so the motion that is pending is essentially asking the court to enforce an injunction that was issued back in 2012. Now, that injunction only applied to whether or only instructed the city not to discontinue electric and water service to existing public school facilities. The argument that has been put forward by the school board at this point is, as you know, that should apply to new facilities as well. And the city has simply taken a position that as far as new facilities are concerned, services to those facilities will require a contract, since the party who we're dealing with has made it clear that they will only perform in some instances if there is a contract requiring them to do so. So it's a narrow issue. I would not advise canceling a work session or a joint mediation session, even because I think it would send if you want to send this message, that's just fine. But there still may be issues worth discussing. So I'd advise keeping it on the books. If something changes between now and then, due to the, you know, whatever comes of this hearing, then we can revisit. I know that's Pat's sentiment as well. Is to at least set something at this point.
You know, I know I'm relatively new to this issue. Jay, you've been dealing with it for so long, but I almost agree that
try to keep it on the books. That is a relatively small issue in regard to the overall. I mean, we've got some major, three major issues with them, and I can't see that decision one way or other affecting our desire to want to settle this and get this over with, you know. And
I think it goes to a little bit of our discussion about being a good neighbor and for acting in good faith. And I think at this point, I don't see that happening.
I think we've acted in good faith.
Oh, we have.
Over and over again to the point where you get your nose rubbed in it, you know.
And are we sure they're going to meet on the 6th?
No.
No.
We're not sure they're going to do it then. They might change their mind.
So, well, and just a bit of non-legal fringe issue. I mean, they have new counsel. So to the extent that that presents a new leaf, I don't know. But they have new counsel. I don't want to influence your decision. I would understand, quite frankly, either route, and we'll move forward based on your will. Well, go ahead.
I just want to say, I think we also have to think about that the folks that we're dealing with on the school board are different than the folks we've been dealing with. At least two of the members are new.
Some of the members.
Some of the members are new. Some of us are new. I mean, I just hate to turn our back on an opportunity to sit down directly with them, and no offense, get the attorneys to stop talking.
Yeah.
Let us talk to each other and go that route. But that's my take. If the majority of the council wants to not do it, I'm with you.
Well, you know, they knew we had
this
mediation, and then they turn around and file this injunction before. So what good is it to go to the mediation?
I think it is always good to talk, I will say. I think
I'm not questioning whether you should talk or not, but we should have talked before the injunction. That's what I'm talking about. And I think we go to the injunction, see what we have to do, and then go from there and have a meeting if they want to. But let's wait and see. I'm not going to keep going. I've been on here 4 years, and we've talked and talked, and Jay's gone over there and done a lot of good, and it just hadn't gotten anywhere. And they went and did this thing and didn't even tell us. Is that good law? No. So I'm upset about that. I think we should just go to court, finish the whole mess, and get through with it. No more summaries, no more nothing. Just go to court and get it out of here. We're going to spend more time and more money for the citizens than we have in this building. And I'm fed up with it. I've talked to them. Jay's talked to them. We've done everything possible. All we wanted was a contract, which is a normal business deal. That's the way I feel. That's it.
But, you know, most of the time...
You sure?
If you go talk to one of them, they'll tell you something. But the rest of them won't accept whatever they told you. And we're not exactly that bad. You know, when it's things that affects the city, we try to come together and agree. You know, we don't just totally reject it. And that's what they and another entity in the city, that's what they do. You can go talk to them. It doesn't matter.
Yep. So you would not be in favor of a meeting then?
No.
Okay. You got one, two. You're not in favor?
No. I prefer delaying it until we get more information.
I understand your position, and sometimes I vacillate back and forth. You know, you should always be willing to meet, but you know, history has proven that we just don't get anything out of these meetings.
Yeah, but the injunction, and I'll agree to that.
It's
going to solve one small issue whether we turn on the electricity at one place.
I agree.
It's not going to solve the issue whether they owe it to us, whether they should sign contracts, whether stormwater issues. Not going to solve any of that.
And I don't think we're ever going to get them to agree to anything. The court's going to have to impose it on them.
Yeah.
So I just. After meeting with them and talking with them over and over and over, it's like, you know what? No, they come back with this injunction. I agree, it's just narrow, but it represents how they feel broadly.
We're entitled
to these services, therefore you need to provide them for us, and you will never get a contract from us, ever.
And we won't pay it.
And we won't pay it.
No. I agree with you.
and it ticks me off, you know, the same way. But I can also understand that they've got a building that they want to get power on.
Well, I understand.
And they sit down with us and sign a contract. I get it. But that's what that's about. I don't think it's about this issue as a whole. That's all. But I get it. So let's.
I was just going to say, I mean, I've spoken to one school board member over there, and they expect you to turn those lights on when that time, you know, comes. And, you know, same thing when we were talking about 6 years ago when I was involved in it, you know, the gist of it was, yeah, we know we owe you the money, but you don't have a contract to make us pay, so we're not going to pay. And that was pretty much it.
And that seems to be holding. I mean, that seems to be the...
And we've asked them. I know each one of us has asked them. Change. Give us an argument as to why you don't owe us other than we don't have a contract. I've never had anybody advance an argument as to why they should not pay it. Okay? Right. And sooner or later, it's going to be, well, why should we pay our electric bill?
Mm-hmm. And they'd rather get an injunction than to sign a contract.
Yeah, sit down and talk.
How easy is it to sign a contract?
It's a narrow contract. It's not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We owe this and we're going to pay it.
Yeah.
Okay. Rob, it sounds like we'll wait until after the 22nd.
Okay.
See how that goes, and then we'll wait and talk about it tomorrow after that.
Okay. Thank you. The only other item I have briefly is a follow-up on the request for the cost of a special election to amend the city charter to increase salaries. We reached out to Wesley Wilcox. A standalone election, if not held in conjunction with a regular election, would cost approximately $50,000. If we did it in conjunction with a regular election, it would be roughly $17,700. And we've done this before. Our office and legal fees would not exceed approximately $2,000 to do so.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
To put something on the ballot costs $17,000?
It is, and I'm going to pull his email. It is based on...
It's a little bit more complicated.
It's 65 cents per voter. And there's an administrative fee of about $250. And that's how they came up with that number. And then a follow-up email to the effect of, what if it was a standalone election? They just gave us a rough number of $50,000.
But it's an item on the agenda, I mean on the ballot. It's just punch a hole in it. They run it through there, and it just reads it, right?
Mr. Mayor, that's a pro rata share of the cost to run the precincts. That's really what it's about. It's a pro rata share to run the precincts.
Oh, of the entire, oh, okay.
An issue for the city.
I see.
That's
okay, I see what you're saying.
Well, I don't think $17,000 will break us to get it on the agenda, on the ballot. Am I the only person that feels that way?
Of course it doesn't break us.
No, it won't break us.
It won't break us more than I expected, but it won't.
I don't see why you can't wait till the next regular city of Ocala, and then it'd be just a normal election at that point in time, right?
Wait until when?
If we do
the next city election, and there would be no additional cost if it was on the city election.
Correct.
No, because you're already paying. Yeah, you're already paying.
Oh,
the Ocala election.
I believe for that charter amendment to be added to a ballot in any regular election would still cost the $17,700.
I can't understand, because if you're already
running a city
election, it's no different than sometimes we have two people on the ballot, sometimes we have three.
Same amount of money.
It's still going to cost
amount
the
of money.
Same
they
thing.
Don't charge us any different.
Mr. Zobel, do you have any? Is that your understanding, or?
I believe it will be the same cost.
An additional $17,000 to add the amendment.
Them to host to participate in those precincts. Yeah, my understanding is a precinct.
But we're already participating in those precincts if it's a city of Ocala election.
Right. If
it's a city only.
No, it shouldn't. I'm sorry. Then there should not be an additional cost. Whatever our cost is to participate in that election, that should be the fixed cost. There'll be no additional cost associated with this ballot question.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
In that case, I would think the 50,000 number, which it's a standalone election for the city of Ocala anyway, so whether there's, you know, two council members on it in this or just the two council members, the flat 50 would probably apply.
And when's that going to be? When's our next election?
2019.
Oh, I'll be out of here then. I want it before then.
You want to run again?
No, I'm not going to run again. Why can't we put it on this year's? I mean, why can't we let the citizens of Ocala decide whether we need a raise or not? Why should we decide whether we need one? Because you got plenty of money, and you got plenty of money, and you, I don't have a lot of money. I've been on here for 20 years getting $200 a month, so it's time for me to get a little something.
Understand that.
Well, why don't we let the citizens decide?
I don't like the nuances of it because it, to me, this is something that's specifically about us as council members, and it's one thing to let the citizens decide, let me come up with an example, okay, of maybe repealing some of the ordinances that we tried to repeal the last time. They had nothing really to do with us personally. This is an ordinance that would have something to do with us personally in the way of personal salaries, okay, and that I have a hard time in using the argument let the people decide, because if we vote to put it on the ballot, that's tacked it to an endorsement that we deserve a raise.
We're okay. Almost asking them for it.
Yeah, and I just that
and I think
that
we
I struggle.
Do. Did you look at this?
I looked at that, and that probably is one of the best arguments.
77, and we haven't gotten a raise. Now, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Ms. Rich, I have had many people come up to me, and I'm sure you have had many people come up to you and say that, Jay, you're doing a good job. The work that y'all do, you deserve more, but I like the way the system is now. I think you get the people on council for the right reasons. And
that's what people have told you.
That's what people have told me. And I've had
nobody's ever told me that. They always said, you're doing that for what? Nobody's ever told me that. We don't talk to the same people. Because you talk to bankers and the upper echelon. I talk to the people that work for a living in this city and go and vote.
Let's not put bankers in the upper echelon, first of all. No offense.
Yeah, I am a banker. I'm not in the upper echelon. And bankers do work for a living along with other professionals. Now, I don't know if I'd lump lawyers into that group, okay? But
I knew it was coming. I saw him glance over here.
You know, it's just a delicate issue, and it. My thoughts are, I am.
You think you want to get elected the next time if you vote for this? If you say put it on the agenda?
I've already publicly declared that I'm not running again. This is the term I'm in right now is my last term. When it expires in 2021, I will not seek re-election. At all, whether it has nothing to do with whether we get a raise or not. It's just I feel that at that time, it'll be my time and turn over some of these youngsters up here.
Thanks a lot.
I didn't include you. Did not include you in that comment, Mr. Molliver.
Mr. Mayor, I mean, ultimately you're part of this. What are you?
Where are we on the agenda, Mr. President?
This was part of the city attorney's report. We were asked to follow up on the cost, is all.
All right. Yeah, so I'll weigh in because I didn't get to come to some of the council meetings that you had, and listen to some of the council comments and stuff regarding this online, listening to the agenda, and you brought up some valid comments, and I'll just. Say for me, I mean, I was on council for 12 years, doing the $200 a month and $150, of car allowance. And so now you guys, we raised our car allowance for me to $400 and, my salary, same as it was for mayor back in, 1977, to $550. I don't know, and I don't follow what you guys do. I'm sure y'all, put a lot of time into this and work hard. This isn't about me, not about Ms. Rich. It's about the next council and the next council and the next council. Yeah, we may benefit for it for a year, but it's not about us. And obviously, you know, we're all doing this for the right reason. I don't think I hear people talk about, well, golly, the county commissioners, they're just doing it for the wrong reason. You know, they're doing it for the money. Or the school board members. Nobody's complaining about school board members making $32,000, you know, a year, or 35, whatever it is they make, 38, whatever they make, you know. I probably 40 hours a week into this job, and probably another 20 hours at least into my other business, and have, fortunately, you know, have an associate I work with in Chicago, and she and I work on the phone and, you know, do webinars and things like that around the country with people. But yeah, I mean, I love this job. I mean, you know, if I could afford to, I'd pay to do it. But I can't. And, you know, I think I can tell you without any hesitation that I genuinely care about the people I serve. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, when people call me and tell me, I need your help, Mayor, you know, that's like music to my ears. You know, I love, you know, helping people. And just like the problem I talked about earlier, you know, sometimes some of the problems have absolutely nothing to do with the city, but people call me because I'm the mayor. You know, some people think I'm the unofficial mayor of Silver Spring Shores and Marion Oaks. But, you know, if there's a problem, you know, I try to find a solution to it, you know, and solve it. During the hurricane, I mean, there were people that were calling me that had problems with Duke Energy, SECO. You know, I just, you know, would try to solve them for them. You know, things that we've done with, you know, outlawing synthetic marijuana, getting the secondary metals theft, worked with the county commissioner in Orange County, you know, to get that state statute done that reduced, you know, secondary metal theft by 90% in about 90 days. Do an enterprise zone. I mean, I didn't have to do anything, any of that. Didn't say anything in the charter about doing those things, but I just did it because there was a problem and I, you know, wanted to get a solution. So for whatever that's worth, you know, I mean, that's what I do. And I would tell you, and I told you this the other day, Matt, you know, there's, and you touched on it, Ms. Rich, there's really, you know, two questions, and they're probably questions we didn't ask the county commission enough when the Yankees deal was going on, but, you know, do you think the voters are smart people? And the answer is yes, of course. And do you think that they should be able to decide what they want to do with their own money? And the answer, again, is obviously yes. So I would say, you know, put it on the ballot. If they don't want to give us a raise, don't give us a raise. You know, no, you know, it's nothing personal. And we just keep doing our work and just move on. So that's my 50-cent worth on that.
Eloquently said, man.
Thank you, Ms. Rich.
Do you have any more?
No, we don't necessarily need action on it. I just was reporting back upon the cost.
Yeah,
and opening a big can of worms. So.
What's the timeline on getting it on the ballot? Now, there's a certain timeline on
the general election, the timeline.
You got plenty to them.
Final ballot language is due for the 2018 general election by no later than noon, August 29th of this year.
So we've got a while.
What about the primary?
Primary deadline is June 22nd.
But the primaries are never voted on, especially in a non-presidential primary. So if you really want the people to decide,
the general,
you really need to go to the general, but I don't need to remind this council that 2 years ago or 4 years ago, we had an election for five charter changes.
Yes.
And I believe three of them were voted down. One actually had some merit to it. It was whether they have the runoff elections. Two others were to repeal ordinances that made no sense at all to stay on the books, and they were voted down. They were voted down because the special interest group said vote against all the ordinances. And, that very well could happen again.
If it does, then we don't get it. But, I mean, it's the taxpayers' money, and I think they should have an opportunity to say whether we get a raise or not. It's not your money, and it's not mine. It's the taxpayers' money. and I think they should have some input in it.
Well, and I would just say that, you know, the people I talk to, they compliment you guys, council, all the time and tell me what a great job you guys are doing, because obviously I had no vote. So, but, yeah, I mean, everybody says what a great job we're doing, what how great, you know, Ocala looks and the downtown and just the city as a whole, how progressive we are, how we get things done. You know, they love the job that you're doing, you know, so. What it's worth.
Mr. Dobler, eventually you'll bring some options forth for what that what that process would be like, what that language would look like, or those kind of things. Or
well, first we'd have to set a dollar amount as to what you were interested in, and then again, council, you can set a dollar amount. You could say remove those provisions from the charter and adopt them by ordinance. It's difficult for me to craft language without knowing what dollar amount you're seeking.
What do we have to do to remove it from the charter?
It would be a ballot question, and Mr. Batchelor, you could opine on that, but to me it would be a ballot question that says, you know, shall the provisions concerning salaries set for mayor and city council members be removed from the charter and instead be adopted by ordinance? Something like that.
But it has to go on the ballot. Also.
Yeah. I wouldn't even put that on a ballot. I mean, I want always for the voters to decide how much money we make. But we work for them, and I think they should be able to decide. You know, back in 2002, we tried to get a raise, and, you know, Councilmember Finn, you remember this, Ms. Rich, she said, you know, we'll make it, you know, whatever the number was, and we'll make it an automatic 6% increase. And I said, Mike, I said, you know, put them separately. Nah, put them together. I said, yeah, but they might want to vote yes for one and no for another. If they want to vote no, just put it all together. Well, he put it together, and they did, and they voted no. And people that saw me, they said, yeah, you know, I would have given you the raise, but I wasn't going to give you an automatic 6% increase every year, so we just voted no for it. And I said, yeah, you're like, you know, a few people that have told me that. So, yeah, I want the public to decide how much money we make, not
just a point of information. In our limited research, and again, the sister cities that we polled for you, for lack of a better term, we didn't find a lot of evidence where the other cities had done it by charter. They do it by ordinance. I'm sure some do it by charter, but that's not our experience. If council wants to set a dollar value, I can easily craft ballot language to set a dollar value. If you want to set a dollar value with an automatic escalator, that gets a little bit more complicated, especially on a ballot. So I kind of need to know where you'd like to go with that.
You know, this salary inflation calculator thing is the first time I've seen it, and I like it. You know, if there's a way to take this number and back that into a population formula or something like that, that's the way.
Okay.
I don't feel good about this at all. But if you're ever working to put it on there, I think it's got to be something that's maybe not a dollar value set, but it's some sort of formula that the state uses for other positions or something like that, based on.
Well, there are population formulas, Mr. Wardell. That's what council would like me to back into that number based on population and prepare some draft language for your consideration. We can do that based upon those numbers. Is that where the indication is?
I would think so. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take their numbers. I'm going to take Jay's, Justin's, Mr. Wardell's, and have everybody call them. You know how we do the legislators? Call them and tell them to vote against this or vote for something, and tell them to ask you all to vote for it. How does that sound?
I'm with that.
What's your cell phone number?
Miss Rich, nobody can deny that you're not passionate.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Mr. Wardell, in the coming weeks, I will, under city manager's items, I will prepare a sample ballot question, backing into a number, coming up with a formula that respects population.
I mean, am I out?
No, that's right.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
And then you're going to get accused that, well, you're just annexing people in the city so you can get a raise.
No, no, no.
Wait, that's not why we're doing it?
That's not why we're doing it.
Okay, that's right. Forgot.
See, there is just no good.
There's no winning.
Winning in this scenario.
Yeah.
Except the lead.
Okay.
Proud to announce my report is complete.
I'm happy for that.
Yeah. Are you sure?
You've earned your money.
Beginning to see why Pat sent me.
Y'all gonna make me run again so I can get the raise.
I would love for you to be up here for another 4 years.
Nope.
All right. Item 16, informational items. You see the two calendar items. We've got the City Council work session on Tuesday, January 23rd at 11:30. We're going to discuss the parking meters and the fiber network. The utility report will be on a different work session later. And the City Council strategic planning session on Thursday, February 8th at 8:30 at RNL Carriers. And now we're on to comments by the mayor.
Now, I'll just say on the parking workshop, I'll be the U.S. Conference of Mayors, so I won't be here. I would just tell you, or my take on it is, there were two parking studies, and I think most of those studies were, Ms. Rich, you can help me with this, they were tied to parking, but I think some of it had to do with where the garage was, but it did talk about parking and parking meters and things like that. I would ask you to just, you know, kind of peruse them and just look at them. But just try to find a solution. Don't just get rid of the parking meters. Try to find a solution. Work with the property owners and the business owners and, you know, see if you can make it work somehow. I mean, I've heard a lot of, ideas about the, business owners comping the people with the with a card or something like that, that the customers could just slip in there, the business owner would pay for their parking, extend the hours, different things like that.
First 20 minutes free.
Yeah, or in one area, make it longer or something like where shopping and retail and, restaurants are. But try to figure a solution rather than, because what's going to happen is when that hotel breaks ground, you're going to lose how many ever parking, spaces you're going to lose there, and it's going to be, a problem. And, in the past we've heard, business owners complain, well, there's no parking. And we, explain to them where your employees are parking in the spaces that, you think your customers are going to be parking in. They'll make the comment, well, they don't want to walk that far. And so, but now we have a garage, so, that can hopefully work for them. I know I saw a lady at the barbecue restaurant downtown. She waited on me, and I saw her that afternoon walking to the garage where she was parked. So I think you'll see a lot of, a lot of that. And what's the other thing I was going to say? Something about that. But I can't remember. Getting older. Yeah, and you guys know my father-in-law passed away this Friday. He was a veteran. We, laid him to rest at the cemetery there in Bushnell. And he was a veteran. I watched the video where you were presenting him along with Congressman Yoho some medals and everything. So I appreciate that. And we watched that video a number of times. And but he was a Distinguished Flying Cross, Purple Heart, POW, and it was really really special. So anyway, I guess that's it. I almost remember what I was going to say, but. Might come back around.
If you remember.
All right.
Mr.
Grabo, don't remind him.
So one thing really for council, we all received an email this week in regards to our workshop that we had about the firefighting. I had asked them for some sort of input, give me a wish list, mainly to address the response times that we saw over on my side of town on the east side. And they were seemed particularly bad. I think obviously we'll get an update after the OS. ISO report comes in, but I want to just clarify that for you all. To me, it wasn't really a wish list for the department as a whole. It was more, how do we address this problem that we're seeing, whether it was lights or things that we talked about to make it easier for them to get in and out of that station around the 36th, things of that nature. So when you read that report in that context, I appreciate the time that the department and chief took to get that together, and John, I really do, but I want to see it kind of narrowed into how do we address those response times in those areas, because I know that's important.
And I'll get that information back to you, Mr. Mayor.
And the other thing I'd say is, you know, I brought a couple things to John's attention from residents with debris pickup and some other things, and the response has been fantastic. You guys are doing a great job. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Remember?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. So, you know, we're doing this Midtown Master Plan. We're going to be putting out another RFP. Is that correct?
It's currently been reissued now, and for the Concord Square lot.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
And Mr. Walton's property is back out.
Right. Yeah, so we were able to get Mr. Murphy to agree to develop his lot without us having to, you know, trade lots. So best of both worlds.
Awesome.
So that's great.
Issue that this week, Mr. Mayor. We're prepared to issue that lot this week.
Okay, great. So that was it.
You sure you don't have anything else?
Pardon?
You sure you don't have anything else?
No, I'm good. It was good, lively discussion tonight. Both sides of the discussion on the whole salary issue.
Can we have this discussion again in 2 weeks?
Sure.
Let's discuss it every 2 weeks until August.
I have a feeling we will. It's good.
Nothing. I would really like some citizens to put it as an agenda item.
Yeah.
With some specifics and see if we can get some citizens.
Let's do a survey.
I would be fine with doing a survey if you could find a way to do it correctly to where you're getting likely voters' sentiments, okay? Yeah. Well, there's a cost to that, okay?
Well, there's a cost to everything.
That's right.
Mr. Musley, you brought up before requesting that staff do some focus group work,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps we can do that, look at active voters, and perhaps we can assemble that and ask them something like that.
Thank you.
Well, I've got confidence in our staff. Let's just ask our staff if they think we deserve a raise.
What do you think they're going
to
say?
I think Ms. Kelly will have a great answer for us.
That's all.
It's my turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ms. Rich, I'm sure happy I was sitting over here because you faced that way the whole time.
Well, that's where most of the opposition was.
Right. But anyway, no, I think we had a good discussion, a good open discussion, and that's what this council is all about. We work together and try to come to a good solution. And so, and I guess everybody understands where I am with the school board and the lawsuit. And it's time to cut bait and quit fishing. Let's just go to it. And get through with this. I came on this council 4 years ago, and I've talked my head off with each individual. Oh, yeah, you're right. We need to settle it. Not just like Jay said, they go back, and nobody knows what the other person's doing. They don't remember. So I think we need to get this thing settled one way or the other. Thank you. And that was a good discussion tonight. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I say to piggyback on that, if you're in the school board and you're listening, pull the injunction and sit down with us and talk with us, and we'll.
There you go.
Let's get it worked out.
Is Fred here?
Fred, he'll be listening. Fred, if you're listening.
Fred will listen.
I mean, and that's the reality of it. I think let's sit down in good faith with each other, from community member to community member. We're neighbors with them. They're our neighbors. We care a lot about the kids of Marion County and Ocala just as much as they do, I'm sure. And we'd rather sit down with them and work this out like neighbors.
Can I say one more thing?
We love our children.
Of course
we
do.
I mean, we care as much.
Let me say one more thing, and Pat will back me up on this. We got new attorneys from the school board that came on. Okay, we got that lady from Gainesville got off, and we got all new attorneys. Pat thought, just like you did, that things are getting a little better, and all of a sudden, boom, we didn't. He says, I don't know how to take them anymore. And so that's exactly what we're talking about. We have new attorneys. We were getting down the road. We're going to have a mediation. And all of a sudden, we got an injunction against us. So they should have at least talked to us. So, and Pat knows. He's been through it with us. And he even commented on it like that. So that's my thing on the school board tonight.
All right. I don't have anything else, so... We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me see, what am I doing?